I don't know whether there's anybody else in the audience or not tonight that has a remembrance of this day. I don't remember the day itself. I remember something happening, but just a little few months after that, I remember my uncles going to war. This is a day that will live forever in some of our lives. They need to teach the kids about it today and tell them really what was going on. Because Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Have any of you ever been to the Arizona? For me, it's a humbling sight. For any military person, it is. But Japan, they attacked us. We declared war on them. 2 days later, Hitler declared war on us, because he was with the Nazis. He was allied. They were in Japan, and him were allied. What most people don't understand is that Japan had already taken over all of China and most of the islands out there in the South Pacific, and they decided that they was going to take on the United States. And something happened that's not ever, there's a law, it's not ever supposed to happen again. But the 6th Fleet is in the Atlantic, the 7th Fleet is in the Pacific. Every ship in the 7th Fleet of the United States Navy was in Pearl Harbor except one. That's why, and the Japanese didn't know it, but we couldn't have stopped them if they'd have come on in and invaded California. They immediately, people, even civilians, went out and they were standing guard on the shores because they didn't know what was going. We didn't know what was going to happen, but there was a day that I heard President Franklin Delano Roosevelt today on the radio. I heard that speech and it just brought back a lot of memories for me. Yeah. If you didn't back then in 42 and 43 and 44, if you didn't have a ration stamp book to get sugar, you couldn't buy sugar. We had ration stamps and that's the only way you could buy food, because everything was going to the Army and Navy and Air Force bases, and then they were making the C rations and the K rations for the soldiers out in the field. And how many of you have ever seen a 1942, 43, or 44 car? They don't exist. 1942, 43, 44, they don't exist. There wasn't any made. Every car factory became either making airplanes, making jeeps, making tanks, making all kinds of things. And that's when the ladies is the one that were working the plants. The ladies and the guys that couldn't pass the physicals to get into service, they were one working in the plants. Everybody else was gone. You know, we need to remember those days and realize that we're just a few hours away from somebody trying to destroy us as a nation. That's why it's so important to get the right people in as officials. Hello? So I'll let it go at that, but some people were wondering why the flags were at half staff, and I don't understand. Well, Pearl Harbor Day, what's that? Well, it's a day you need to remember, because it could happen again. Hello? Now, I did my little say, okay. Y'all have to forgive Pastor, but I bleed red, white, and blue. And somebody Somebody said, well, what would you do? What would America do if somebody did invade? I told them I was in a foreign country and they asked me that. And I said, well, every kid that's 16 years and old and above and every man that has any kind of rifle, it's a hunting rifle, they'd be behind every boulder and every rock and every tree. And the minute they crossed a river, they couldn't return because they had fixed it where they couldn't. They said, you mean that? I said, that's Americans. I said, that's the way we believe. Our liberty is very important to us and we will protect it. Right? Somebody said, I don't like what you said. There's the door, EXIT. And I mean it. That's just the way I am. I don't pull no punches and I don't ask for any. I'm me and I'm going to be me. If you don't like it, that's your problem. Some people in this congregation have known me for many years now. I haven't changed any. Okay. Have you ever had a friend come up to you and said, hey, let me see your hand? And you can trust them. You immediately expect them to probably give you something, right? What is your level of expectation? You know, if the boss tells you you're going to get a promotion, then you expect to receive a promotion. What are some synonym words to the word expect? To hope, to look forward, to anticipate. Most people are always looking forward to expecting great things. Some people expect the worst will happen. You know, the people that live expecting good things to happen, that's what happens. They live expecting bad things. That's what happens. Because you can have what you say, naturally and spiritually. You know, some people are they're fearful. Some people look at life with an optimist. They're an optimist. They look at life as, hey, it's good. It's going to be a good life. Now, we need to expect every promise of God to come into our lives. We need to expect it. You have to expect it to get it. You know, I expect to get a good Christmas dinner. You know, I expect God to keep doing what he has always been doing in my life. Now look at Acts 3, 4 through 8 in the NLT. This is Peter and John going in the gate beautiful. And the man was sitting there begging. And he said, Peter and John looked at him intently and said, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly expecting some money because that's what he was begging for. But Peter says, I don't have any silver and gold, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Nazareth. Get up and walk. Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed. He jumped up and stood on his feet, began to walk, and then began leaping and praising God. He went in the temple with him. Now, when he heard Peter say, look at us, he looked at them. He was expecting something because Peter said, look. And then Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold, but I'm going to give you something. He could have stopped expecting right there, but he didn't. And because he continued to expect, he received something, not money that would help him temporarily. He received complete healing, which would last him for a lifetime. God has already given his word, and we should expect it to happen in our lives. You know, as you read the Word of God, you should expect what you read to become a part of your life. I grew up with this. My dad, we would read the Bible, and he'd say, "Now, kids," my sis and I, he said, "Exactly what it says here is exactly what God will do for you if you believe him and expect it to happen." You know, in Matthew 7:11, it says, "So if sinful people know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" The Amplified says, this is the classic version, says, if you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give you good and advantageous things to those who keep asking him? Now, I want you to notice the secret of receiving is asking. The secret of receiving, that's what he said right here. He will give those things to him who asks, and I like that, and it amplified, those who keep on asking. Now, I'm going to use Craig as an example here. That boy, if he wants something, he will not rest until he gets it. Ask his sisters. She's right there shaking her head. He is persistent, and he expects, I'm talking about when he was a kid, he expected us to get it. Oh, yeah. The first Apple computer we had, he came home from school. He was, what, seventh grade, I think so. Eighth grade, somewhere in there. And we said, "Well, son, they're just come out. Most people don't even know anything about it." He said, and he kept on until he got one. We need to keep asking God for what he said belongs to us. Actually, the way you do that, you keep praising him because it's going to come into your life. You know, if you don't know that your Heavenly Father has already said it's yours, then you're not going to ask for it. Now, most earthly fathers have helped their kids as much as they could. You know, I wasn't able to get a car until middle of my senior year in high school. But Dad told me, he said, "Okay, son," he said, "I know I can't get a car, and I couldn't get a job that I could make enough to buy one." And he said, "But when I'm home and the car's here, if you'll just ask, you can use the car." Well, he happened to be home this one you know, and some things was going on at school, and I wanted to go. And so I went to him and said, "Dad, I'd like to use the car." I went fully expecting for him to give me the keys, but he did. But what the point I want you to know, get a hold of, is I went and asked him, expecting to receive what I was asking for, because he had already told me that all I had to do was ask. You know what? The Word of God is full of things that all we have to do is ask for. When I go and pray using the Word of God, I fully expect an answer. Don't look at me like that. Hello. You know, you see, our Heavenly Father wants to help us, but unless we let Him, He can't. When I was 15, I had an ear problem with some fungus and stuff, and Dad prayed for me and I didn't get nothing, and my pastor prayed for me and I didn't get nothing. And so Dad had come home and he said, "You want to get healed?" And of course I said, we were riding in the car, and I said, "Sure." I mean, I'm 15. I'd hang my arm out the window, got my flat top haircut, my t-shirt on, my Levi's, and my penny loafers with my white socks. That's what you wore in 54, 53, that era. Some of you are old enough to remember that era. And he didn't say anything. Finally, I said, "You're going to tell me how?" And he said, "I didn't think you was ever going to ask." But you see, when I asked him, I expected him to tell me something. He did. So we went home, we knelt down in the living room to pray, and he didn't say nothing. And I said, "Well, aren't you going to pray?" He said, "No, I don't need nothing, it's you." Now, I'd heard him teach and preach. I'm, 15? I'd heard him preach and teach for all those years. I'd even preach some of his sermons in youth. And so I just said a short prayer, fully expecting to receive what I asked for. Why? Because that's what I had been told. Many times, many people, they are locked in a cage with their circumstances. They have the knowledge of God's word, but they're not saying anything, so they're not getting out. Hello? Are y'all there? Are y'all gone home already? What I'm trying to get you to understand is that if you want the Father to give you something, you have got to expect to receive it. Hello? You know, some people, they can talk to you about the Word of God, but when it comes to actually expecting and receiving, they're on the other side of the fence. "Well, I don't know about that now, you know. The Bible says this, but man, I've seen this happen, and I don't care what you've seen happen. What the Bible says, if you'll expect it, you'll get it." When I pray and ask for finances to come in for the ministry, I expect it to happen. I thank the Lord that He sends the ministering spirits to cause the money to come. I learned that from my dad. If you want to learn about it, there's a CD back there in the bookstore called Faith for Saying It for Finances, in which he says that particular thing. I've said it many times. I said it right as I was praying to put my offering in. I said, "I thank you, minister in spirit, you're going and you're causing the finances to come in for this church so we can continue to do what we're supposed to do." And I expect it to happen. You know, everybody looks at the Isaiah project and says, oh, praise God, hallelujah. But you know what? I think it's great, but I prayed over that, and I expect finances to come in every week. I don't know whether you do or not. I don't even know whether you think about it or not. But as the pastor of this church, my wife and I and Craig and Denise, and we all think about those things. But I pray, and then I expect it to happen. Sometimes you pray, and I don't know whether you really expect it to happen or not. I've seen people pray, but I could tell by the tone of their voice they didn't know really expect it. They just did it because they knew that's what I wanted them to do. Come on now, don't look at me like I fell out of a tree, okay? Some of you sitting there, The biggest problem that people have, they know the word, they know how to pray, but they really don't expect it to happen. Hello? You've heard me say it. My wife will tell you. She agrees right with me. The minute I hear tornado watch, I immediately start saying, all the realm of property is protected. And I go through the whole prayer. My personal property, my kids' personal property, my grandkids' property, it's all protected. I have that right because I'm the patriarch of the family and I have the right. Now, I don't have a right to say anything. I agree with all the Rhema people. I agree that as they pray over their property, I agree with them that their property is protected. And I expect it to happen. I expect it to happen. You know, some people say, well, that's strange. Lynette, how many of you were here when we used to have Rockets over Rhema? And they give bad report. Lynette, we'd be praying, she'd pray, and she expected it to happen. And it rained all around, but it didn't rain on this property. How many of you were here when that happened? Yeah. But see, she expected it to happen. Other people, they pray about it. Well, I don't know now, the weather, I don't know about it. Hey, when Jesus spoke to the sea, be still, he expected it to happen. If he can speak to the sea, I can pray for the weather. And I do. I remember Dad was down at Brother B.B. Hankins, Mark Hankins' dad's church, and I think my brother-in-law, Buddy, was with him, and there was a hurricane coming in, and it was going to come right in on there, because West Columbia, where they had down there by the coast, and they went out in the front yard and pointed and said, we command that hurricane not to come in here. And some people said, oh, that's silly. Well, it wasn't very long after that, they was listening to the news, and the weatherman said, we don't know why, but that hurricane just made a 90-degree turn, and it's going to come in up here. Well, one of the other ministers said, why did you send it in up here? He said, my dad said, I didn't send it in anywhere. I just told it it couldn't come in here. You have to take care of your place. Now, people... See, some people say, oh, that's silly. But he expected it to happen. I sat behind him in that car many times when I'm, you know, he only pastored three churches, but that I was there with him. But in between time, we would travel, and he was an evangelist. And Mama being in the front seat, my sister's laying on the back seat asleep. I'm sitting on this trunk that we had between the seats in that car. And I'd sit behind him and talk to him. He stopped, put fuel in the car. We're driving out from West Texas back to past Mama, his mom, my grandmother's house down there in North Texas, 6-7 hour drive. And he gets in the car, and before he starts the car, he said, I heard him say it. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. They didn't give me any, this is all the money they gave me. And I just put the last dollar I had in the gas in this car. And it's only half full. I expect this car to run till we get to Mama's house. I heard him say it. I said, I thank you for it. He put the car in gear and we took off. We going down the highway and I watch that gas gauge. I'm 5 years old, I think. It got down to the E and the car sputtered and he said, Heavenly Father, I already said it and I expect this car to run till we get to Mama's house. And that engine picked up and kept running. I've told this story before and I had a person come tell me, I don't believe it. Well, I said, you can believe what you want to. I don't care. That's exactly what I told him to. I had a man tell me he didn't like the way I preached. I said, that's your problem, not mine. Turned around and walked off. So the next morning we got in there, you know, like about 5 o'clock in the morning or something. I don't know. I mean, and so we got up and he gave me a 2 gallon gas can and he said, go down there to that store down there because he got some money from Pat's mama. And I bought 2 gallon of gas. I remember this, took the cap off of that gas tank. You couldn't even smell gas. You know, usually you can take cap off and you can smell gas. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You couldn't even smell gas. We poured that in there and we tried to crank it. We couldn't even get it to crank. Now, these cars y'all got now, you can't work on them. They're fuel injected. But then we had carburetors, naturally aspirated. We had to take the breather off of that and I had to go get a little more gas and we had to pour, we call priming it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I know you guys that come off the farm because you've had to prime those tractors I don't know how many times. We got that car started. Now, I told that story because I want you to notice when he prayed, he told the Lord what he expected. Hello? He told the Lord what he expected. You can do that because the Father said, whatever you need, ask, and he will give it to you, right? You know, Billy Graham made a statement one time, heaven is full of answers for which no one has ever bothered to ask. Wow. Think about that. You know, now, real quickly here, as I close this thing out, what can you do to raise your level of expectance? Maintain a steady diet of the Word of God. Meditating on the Scriptures or what He said that we had that belongs to us. Remind yourself of those promises that cover what you need. There's no use to pray some other prayer. Get the promises that cover what you need. My dad said one time, I heard him say, he said, too many people pray ambiguously. He said, get specific. I heard him telling a person this. So find out the promises here that cover your need, and then when you pray, fully expect it to happen. Then secondly, spend some time praying in the Spirit concerning what your needs and your desires are. Then another thing you need to do is to hang around those that believe like you do. They will encourage you. See, hang around with people that's going to encourage you, not people that's going to say, well, now if I was you, now you better watch out. You know, you can't expect too much now. Well, I can. I expect a lot because God told me I could. Hello? You know, somebody said encouragement is like oxygen to us when we breathe. Hello? Man, any of you ever, I know when I was in the Army and we was in training, old Sergeant Burns, our platoon sergeant, he said second platoon was going to be the best there was. And actually we did get every company had one of their platoons that marched in the parade at on graduation day, and our second platoon of Charge and Charlie Company, we were the ones doing it because of Sergeant Burns. And he said, okay, boys, everybody's going into the gas chamber, and they're gonna make you take those gas masks off. But he said, if any one of you comes out that door before some of the other kids start coming out from the other platoons, you can guarantee that you will be on KP for the rest of this training session. Man, I took that gas mask off, and I'm holding my breath. And finally, I had to take. Oh man, some of you guys, you ladies don't know what you're talking about. How many of you have been in the gas chamber and training? You know what I'm talking about. Finally, I saw about four guys from the third platoon start running out. They run out the door, and I waited just a minute, and I went out behind them. And man, it was so, I had tears coming down my eyes, but it was so great to go and breathe in that fresh oxygen, okay? Boy, I fully expected when I got outside, I'm going to be refreshed. Hello? So, now, remember in the past what you have received from God. Relive those times and know that and expect God to do it again. Read stories of those who have received from God. You know, that's why it's so important to give a testimony, because when you can give a testimony, it will inspire somebody else to begin to expect to receive themselves. Then, number six, stay in a corporate atmosphere of faith. Like right here tonight. This is a corporate atmosphere of faith. Am I right or wrong? How many of you are faith people? Some people didn't raise their hand. They probably didn't hear what I said. They're thinking about something else, because most everybody that comes on a Wednesday night, they're really faith people. Except the students. They've got finals tomorrow and Friday, and they're studying. I can always tell, even if I'm not teaching, which I am, so I know, because I'm giving some of those finals on Thursday and Friday. But I can always tell, because I look around and say, oh, it must be finals week. It must be midterm. This is midterms. Any of you ever been in college taking midterm exams or final exams? Yeah, well, they're taking midterms tomorrow and Friday. You got Thursday and Friday classes. Stay in a corporate atmosphere of faith. When you ask the Lord for what the Word says, expect it to happen. Now, there'll be everything in the world that come to you to try to tell you that ain't going to happen. Well, you have somebody come up and tell you, I don't know now. So-and-so, they was believing God and they didn't get it, so why can you expect to get it? Well, I tell them, I say, I expect to get it because I know what the Bible said and I believe I'm going to get it. I don't know about them. I don't know what they really believed. I don't know whether they just were saying words or did they really believe and were they really expecting. I expect it to happen. You know, lift your eyes up with expectation that the Word of God will come in and take control of every situation. Somebody said, you know, that's sort of simplistic, Pastor. Well, it may be. I may be simple, but I believe what the Bible says. I expect this to happen. Everybody stand up. How many of you got your Bible or your device with your Bible on it? Hold it up. Say this. Say, this is the Word of God. Every promise in the Word is mine. I expect. I expect. It to happen in my life. I thank you, Lord, that it's happening right now. You don't see it, you don't feel it. But if you believe it, it's happening. Remember the song says? He's working. You may not see it or feel it or whatever it says, or whatever the song says. I remember it says something about that anyway. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I just wanted to encourage you to get your expector turned on. My dad used to say it all the time, turn on your expector. How many ever heard my dad say that? Turn your expector on. Where do you think I learned about what I'm talking about here? I grew up in his house. That's where I learned it. You've got to expect it. If you see it, it's going to happen. Coach John Fenderson, I played basketball for him at Kennedyville Bible Academy. The last thing he would say to us every game, he says, if you go out that door and expect to win, you will. If you go out that door thinking, well, I don't know whether this is a pretty good team, I don't know whether we're going to win or not, he said, you're not. You got to go out of that door expecting it. Every time you pray and ask God, you got to expect it. I don't care what else happens. Expect. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you expecting? Hallelujah. Now, I realize that could have another term, but that's what we're talking about here tonight. Get your head on where we're talking about, okay? Hallelujah. If you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to God, or you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Or you need prayer for anything. As we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men are over here, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you come in Jesus' name. Did we have any first-time guests? If so, go, where's my first-time guest? Let's get them so that we got a special gift for you guys. And we thank you for being with us tonight. If you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church? Welcome home. If you need prayer, come to the front right now, Sunday morning right here, 9:30 School of the Bible, 10 o'clock morning worship. Shake hands with somebody as you leave. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. Hallelujah.